You're listening to the Live, Love, Engage podcast. On today's show, we're going to be talking about how to put your financial house in order. Stay tuned. I am Gloria Grace Rand, founder of The Love Method and author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Live, Love, Engage, How to Stop Doubting Yourself and Start Being Yourself. In this podcast, we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically so you can create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. Welcome to Live, Love, Engage. Namaste and welcome to Live, Love, Engage. I am Gloria Grace Rand, and today we're going to be talking about all things financial, things like how to get better interest rates or credit scores and all sorts of things anyway. Anything related to finances and your business and even your personal life, because in order to live fully, you really do, it helps to have your financial house in order. And so joining me today on the program is Paul Schumann, and he is an expert in all this stuff, as I'll get to in a moment. But first off, welcome to Live, Love, Engage, Paul.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here, Gloria. I really appreciate helping people and giving lots of good information, something that they can use right away and things that they may need to take some time to work with.
I'm excited to have you on the show because, as I said, it's been, well, in this year in particular, I think it's been challenging for a lot of people when it comes to finances. And as we're recording this, it's the middle of November already, and we've been dealing with this, the year of the pandemic. But before I get to that, let me just tell you, all of you who are listening and watching out there, a little bit more about this gentleman. He is the founder of Wise Wealth Choices, Inc., and his background actually covers a multitude of disciplines, including 46 years of experience in real estate, and he has worked with individuals as well as builders and developers. He's also skilled negotiator. So he has helped companies in distress settle creditor accounts in a way that provides a win for both parties, which is good. And with his experience as a business money lender, he finds solutions for the most difficult situations, whether in real estate or business. And that's not all, because he's also has been previously licensed in life insurance and securities. And he's also a holistic health practitioner, if that's not enough for you. So he's got the practical and a little bit more of a spiritual side to him, which is something that really intrigued me about him when I met this gentleman. And his core value is integrity. Boy, if I can't speak today, I'm sorry. is known for his honest and forthright approach. So let's see. I'm trying to think where... You know what? Let's start first. I want to ask you a little bit, because one of the things that did intrigue me a bit, and we'll get to some of the more nuts and bolts stuff later, but tell me a little bit about what kind of holistic health background you have, and how does that actually help you in your current business?
That's a very interesting thing. And it's interesting how I transitioned into it by accident. I was about 1989. I was working in a real estate office in Carlsbad, and the market had already started to take a downslide. Things were happening, and my manager walked over to me and noticed that I'd be walking around the guy's shoulders, talking to him, and I'd be rubbing their shoulders. And he came back to me. He says, "Paul," he says, "listen, it seems like this market is really down, and you're going through a transition right now, and I think you need a little break. Have you ever thought about doing something on the holistic area?" And what's interesting is John, who was our manager, was also a DISC international speaker and trainer. And he actually put our entire real estate company through a DISC program. When he saw my profile and stuff, he saw me what I was doing. He says, "It's time for a change. You need something more kinesthetic or actual." So what he did was, in that suggestion, he came back and said, "All right, you need to switch to something holistic." It was interesting is at the time, I was a commercial leasing agent for a building in Solana Beach on Cedros called the Center for Total Health. Mm-hmm. Now, the building was mostly empty, and the owner was not doing a very good job, left in disrepair, but I took over as a leasing agent, and a massage company came up to me and said, "Paul, we would like to lease this big, gigantic space here, 5,000 square feet, so we can have a teaching class, teach massage and stuff." I said, "You know, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll work a deal with you out on the rent if you put me in the class." And that was my, I would say, transition into the massage area, nutritional area. Mm. But let me back up a few years. 1983, I ended up, I was running an owner of a tire shop in Santa Fe Springs, California. And I was pulling a truck tire off of a truck one day, and it dropped really hard and it ripped my insides up. Mm. And it ended up creating a 4-inch blood clot in my jugular vein.
Oh my gosh.
4 inches. And I ended up in a hospital. They checked me out and said, "You have a very serious problem." They took all sorts of x-rays and said, and I had some of the top specialists in the United States working on me. Guys who did dissertations on this. He said, "There's nothing that we can do because the jugular vein is the largest vein in the human body. Mm. So we can't take a vein from another part, splice it in, or do anything." Mm. And he said, "You're going to have to live with this for the rest of your life. But if it ever moves, you've got 3 hours to be in surgery or you'll die."
Oh,
well, wonderful. During that, right after that, I had gone back to a chiropractor that had worked on my back, getting me out of a wheelchair because of muscle strain. Mm. And the doctors didn't understand, but literally I went in a wheelchair. 2 hours later, I walked out. Mm. And from that point on, this chiropractor literally rebuilt my body. And within weeks, I was so strong, I was lifting railroad ties over my head, building a wall in my backyard.
Wow.
I mean, it was amazing the transition from what a chiropractor did from literally facing surgery to being incredibly powerful and strong again. So when this blood clot thing came back, I went back to him just for a regular checkup. And he said, "Hey, I've got this unusual treatment thing." Anyway, long story into a short one, he piled crystals all over me for 12 weeks and did all sorts of these weird little incantations. And he said, "What he's doing is he's balancing my energetic body to take care of whatever might happen."
Right.
And using kinesiology to test me every day. So one day I woke up and I came into his office and said, "Okay, doc, is this thing ever going to go away?" And he goes, "Yes, it's going away today." Oh, I said, "Oh, and what time?" He goes, 9:00 tonight. Well, 9:00 that night, I went to a birthday party at a place called Crackers in Orange County. And about 5 minutes before 9, the band came in and started testing all their instruments and hitting me with sound waves and all that sort of stuff. And my wife that time looked at me. She said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I sort of feel okay." And about 2 or 3 minutes later, she looked at me again and said, "Are you really okay?" I said, "Why are you asking?" He says, "You have no more color left in your skin." I was as white as my beard, my entire body. Everything had drained out of me. What was happening inside me was going to be monumental in about 60 seconds. Hmm. I walked out towards the front door, and that's as far as I made it. I sat down in a chair. I said, "Whatever you do, don't touch me." And the blood clot exploded in my chest. Literally exploded. And I went into a whirlwind of black things, and it took my head and just spun it in circles, dripping wet from head to toe in a matter of seconds. But when I came out of it, I was okay. I went home, went to sleep, called my doctor, said, "Doc, something amazing happened." And he goes, "No, it didn't, or you would be dead right now. So you're not talking to me. Nothing happened. See me in 2 days." And I was dumbfounded that he wouldn't even look at me. Hmm. Went back to my chiropractor, piled me up in crystals again, waved his magic wand, and my lymphatic gland, which was larger than the size of a golf ball, started to shrink back almost to normal. Hmm. By the time I made it to the doctor's office, who had also did surgery on my right knee, and he said, "Yeah, he looked." Now, what happens is when your vein gets blocked off, all the veins in your arm stop working. And literally my arm swelled up. So I had to have an elastic bandage on my arm for a year.
Mm.
But when I walked in, I didn't have the bandage on. So he picks my arm up and all the blood drains out. You ever heard the word a Kodak moment?
Yeah.
If I had had a camera and taken a picture of his face when he saw my arm, it was like stymied. All I could see him was reach over to the wall, grab the phone, says, "Nurse Vandegraam, stat, now, click." Raced me down, x-rays, dyes in my body, checked it, pulled up the x-rays, says, "It's gone."
Hmm.
I said, "Doc, what happened?" He says, "I don't know. What did you do?" And I explained to him the car race. No, that's all. Forget that.
Yeah.
I said, "You tell me what happened." He says, "It's not your time. You have more things to do in this world to help people."
Mm.
And what was interesting is shortly thereafter, I started working with a psychic transmedium again, which was an unusual thing because the ad he had in the paper had the wrong phone number. Yeah. I had to call the Penny Saver to get the right phone number. And he turned me down three times. He said, "I don't work with men. I don't work with women because men are too stubborn." But after he heard my story, he took me on and he taught me deep, deep psychic work inside me, internal work, where I could literally go inside my body, inside my brain, inside caves, fight fears, do things. And then one day I ended up being paralyzed. It took me too far through a fear. And when I came out of it, through a series of processes, I absolutely, for the first time in my life, learned what when somebody is paralyzed due to fear,
yeah,
but there's really nothing wrong with them, I absolutely now know how to get them out of that paralysis.
Mm.
I haven't had a chance to do that. I've checked around. Doctors won't let you really mess with their patients, but literally, I absolutely know now how to get inside the brain, twist the fear around and bring them out to be normal, probably within 2 hours, back to normal. And I saw this happen to me twice. Once when he put me in deep trance and once when I had somebody else in the room where I actually read their minds.
Mm.
I had the ability to actually go into another person's brain and read what they were saying and tell them if they were lying or telling the truth.
Mm.
That caused some issues. But anyway, so then over the years, I was helping people doing things I didn't even understand. I could walk up and see somebody and know what was wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's, again, it took 4 months for me to transition from part A to part B. But I was literally, I could walk into a room and I'd point and go, "Hey, your head's really hurting. How did you know that?" "Your head's twisted." He says, "The doctor's worked on me for a year. I got hit in the head with a steel beam." I says, "Yeah, I know it's twisted." So he sat down in front of me. Within seconds, I put my hands on his head, held it really hard, and then I let go. And he says, "How did you know?" I said, "How did I know what?" He says, "You took your hands off 2 seconds after the pain stopped."
Mm.
And he stood up and he says, "Oh, my God." I said, "What happened?" He says, "For a year, I've been in pain. In 30 seconds, I no longer have any pain. Mm. It's gone." And I've been able to do this for dozens of people.
Right.
But then I integrated and I realized that there's something more I have to get back into the world.
Yeah.
And I transitioned back into real estate. I started helping people on other levels. And I got in 1993, I got into with a debt settlement company
mm-hmm.
who literally had lost all their negotiators. And I had never done any. So I sat down with them, the president and the vice president. I said, "I'll give it on. Put him in front of me." So he started handing me a file cabinet full of files of people that owed money that they had taken in as clients. And I started pulling them out one at a time, calling the debtor up, asking a few questions, calling the creditor up. And within 30 days, I emptied the filing cabinet. I settled every last one of them and saved, I know at that time, I probably saved about 50 different companies from going bankrupt and being sued.
Mm.
Whatever happened inside me gave me the ability to literally understand the emotions and characteristics of both the debtor and when I talked to the creditor, what I needed to say to them so they would be on my side.
Right.
And I'll tell you, some of the best settlements I got were with credit attorneys.
Mm.
And I'll explain, my last client that I had, he had $178,000 in credit card debt. Mm-hmm. Didn't know what to do. His wife had been making $1 million a year, and the company got into a big lawsuit with them, and they lost everything on their income for a long time. When I negotiated, I found out that all these credit cards were already in the hands of attorneys for lawsuits. And I started working with the attorneys, explaining them the hardship that had gone through, because there were also other issues in the background, medical issues that nobody was aware of. And by the time I got through talking to him on his level and brought an understanding to it, I settled every one of the credit card debts, wiped out all the lawsuits, and settled them for 30 cents on the dollar.
Wow.
And by the time they paid me my fees and everything, settled the debts, they saved $100,000 that they no longer had to pay. All their debts were completely cleaned and wiped off. They were back to normal. And I've done this more times than I can count, literally over and over. Sometimes they don't use 30%, sometimes they're 40, 45%, depending upon how complex the problem was, the type of debt it was. Even on my biggest debt with an aerospace company and Co-America Bank, it took me a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But I took Co-America Bank, who held the UCC-1 filing on their assets, their income, receivables, everything, from $1.6 million to $400,000 over 10 years with no interest. I saved the aerospace company $1.2 million and battled the roughest attorney firms. But I did it from a holistic standpoint by reading energy.
Right.
And understanding who they were. So that whole episode I had in my life gave me an amazing ability to work with these things and help people.
Yeah.
That's how it sort of all transitioned.
Well, I appreciate that. So how can most of the people watch the show, you know, on YouTube, or if they're listening to it, are entrepreneurs. And I know that it's important for entrepreneurs to be able to manage their, you know, debt, especially if they've maybe had to borrow money in going into starting a business. So what's the best way I want to ask this? What should a business person know, an entrepreneur know about, what's important for them to know about their credit report and how to be able to use it effectively to be able to, you know, what should they be looking for? Let's put it that way.
Okay. All right. So first of all, before I transition into the credit area, you asked me the number one most important thing a business needs to understand. They need to have a business plan. Believe it or not, 60% of the businesses that have all failed never had a plan. So all the entrepreneurs, all the big gurus out there said, if you don't have a business plan, then you've planned to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it really works. And it's the same way when you're looking at your credit reports. When you understand what the credit report means and how to read it and where you're going with it, there's a plan. And how you plan your credit is incredibly important. Reading and understanding a credit report isn't that complicated, but you need to do it on a regular basis.
Mm.
And I tell people, for a personal side of it, you need to go to annualcreditreport.com.
Mm-hmm.
Annualcreditreport.com. It is a federal government site. It allows you to pull all three of your credit reports every week for free because of the pandemic. And there's no issues with it. You just go online, type in your information. You can choose from Experian, TransUnion, Equifax. You can pull all three of them.
Sure.
Download it to a PDF and you can read it. You can then find the errors in it.
Okay.
Let me explain something. In your personal report, if you have erroneous addresses, if your name is spelled wrong, if there's mm-hmm. a second mess up on your social security number, believe it or not, that's actually harming you.
Mm.
Because when the credit bureaus do a research on who you are and any derogatories, they're going to look up your name, your social security numbers, your address where you live. And
right.
if there's wrong information in there, they have actually put wrong information on my credit report.
Mm-hmm.
I check my credit report typically about once every 2 months.
Yeah.
I'll go online, pull it, look at it, make sure. And then I'll send in a series of challenges because typically they'll mess up phone numbers, addresses, something going on, or something in my credit file. A credit card company put the wrong information in. Mm-hmm. Somebody erroneously put an inquiry in, and I'll send in a dispute on it. Disputes to credit card companies, to credit card or agencies like Experian, TransUnion, Equifax, must be in writing. Never, ever, ever use their online dispute system because it's handled by a computer called eOscar. eOscar doesn't understand human beings. It looks at mechanical stuff on your report and determines whether or not it appears to be right, wrong, or indifferent. And unfortunately, computers make mistakes. Why? Because they're programmed by humans that do not think things out completely.
That's true.
So they get 80 to 90% correct, then there's 10 to 20% of us out there that end up suffering. Mm-hmm. And that's why you've got to put it in writing. And what I suggest when you put it in writing is make it sound, if you can handwrite it, that's even the best thing. Because what happens is if they're typewritten, they scan it through computer systems.
Yeah.
And the computers read them. But if it's handwritten and a little sloppy, maybe even a couple colors in there to make it unique, a human being has to read it.
Gotcha.
Have to read it. Because it can't be automated. So now a human being is reading it. And if you really tell your story correctly about what you believe is wrong on your credit reports in front of you, you've got a better than even chance of getting it removed. It doesn't cost you anything. You do not have to hire credit repair companies. Mm-hmm. I know I've worked with quite a few of them, and even their automated system. I was actually going to open up a credit repair company when I started to realize that people really don't need that. Mm-hmm. The only thing that people get stumbled on is writing the letters. And if they had a copy of a letter or something similar to it, they could do it. But people are lazy. And these credit repair companies literally will charge you $600, $1,000 to do what you can do for free.
Yep.
If you want to take 20 to 30 minutes about every 30 to 45 days.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes that long for the different agencies to review a report.
Right.
So looking at your report is important. Making sure anything on there that's incorrect is challenged. Mm-hmm. Again, it can be as simple as, this is not mine. I don't know how you got on here, but this doesn't belong to me. Remove it.
Yeah.
You know? Or I don't understand this. The payment numbers are wrong. The dates are wrong. So if everything is messed up and you need to investigate it.
Mm-hmm.
The credit reporting agency has to take 30 days, contact the original creditor, go through reports. If they don't get a response back, they remove it off your report. And that's the only way credit repair agencies remove stuff from your report. Challenge them.
Right.
If it doesn't work the first time, they'll do it again and again and again. And it's repetition, because eventually, after a while, somebody's going to say, I'm getting tired of this. Yeah, delete. It's no big deal. And they get rid of it.
Yeah.
Now, transitioning into business credit reports, that is a horse of a different color.
Is that?
And when I explain this, there are no laws or regulations regarding business credit reports. There are no overseers of the government, and they can put out whatever they want. And if you prove them to be wrong, they won't care. They won't even change it. They won't even listen to you.
Oh, wow.
I know, because one of my credit reports came back from one of my companies. I've had a corporation for 5 years. I've had a lot of business credit.
Yeah.
So I specify when I open up credit cards that it's a business account. Mm-hmm. When I go to Staples or something, I open up a business account.
Right.
So they report. And the report to Dun & Bradstreet, Experian Business, and Equifax Business. Mm-hmm. And Equifax Business is actually pretty big. On their consumer side, they're not as big.
Mm-hmm.
But commercial side, they are. Dun & Bradstreet, everybody knows the name, but they're actually the smallest amount of viable information in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, if you want to open up a commercial account at Sears or Staples or Office Depot or Best Buy,
right,
they will look at Dun & Bradstreet. They will look to see how many other creditor accounts and if you've been paying on time, because that's their only source.
Right.
But if you go to a bank, they'll kind of cursory glance at Dun & Bradstreet, and then they'll go to Innovis, or they'll go to one of the other big companies that look at your business and your personal. And they will pick that information out to make a decision. Now, if you've never heard of this, Innovis, I-N-N-O-V-I-S, Innovis.com, their credit reports on you personally are astounding. When I pull a credit report off of Experian or Equifax and I get all the pages, it might be 20, 30 pages of detailed information.
Right.
I pulled my Innovis credit report. It was 110 pages long.
Holy smokes.
It went back more than 40 years in my history to addresses when I was in my 30s, 20s and 30s. It had information on companies that I totally forgot that I even had.
Oh, wow.
It had information on me that was mind-boggling. And it was the most complete report I have ever seen. Mm. And I started to use that. And the information on them is actually more correct than most of the other ones.
Hmm.
So I started to understand a little bit more about how these agencies work. And I also went going back into the business end. Again, Dun & Bradstreet, if you don't have a D&B file, it costs nothing to create one. You just call up D&B and say, I want a business file. They're going to ask you your name, who the officers are, a few bits of information, address, phone numbers. They'll create you and say, here's your Dun & Bradstreet number.
So now, why is that important to have that?
Okay, again, if you're a business and you want credit lines at Staples, other companies,
That's right.
They're going to be looking at Dun & Bradstreet to see if you've ever done business before.
Gotcha. Okay.
So when you go to Staples and when you go to Dun & Bradstreet, when you go to, to other stores, give them your Dun & Bradstreet number saying, please make sure that my account is reported to Dun & Bradstreet.
Okay.
Same one with credit cards. Capital One, U.S. Bank, they all report to Dun & Bradstreet. Mm-hmm. And they report to some of the other ones. Why is that important? Because it builds your Paydex score. Now, typically, Paydex score is not a real big deal because you could have one creditor pay them for 4 months in a row and you'll get an 80 Paydex score, which doesn't mean much. But if you have less than that, you have a problem. So the store companies that you want credit with are going to look at that, see a 80 Paydex, but they're all going to see how many creditors that actually was. If it's one, it won't hold a lot of force. But if you have 15, 20 creditors on there that you do normally do business and you have an 80 or higher Paydex, that will mean a lot to them as far as opening your report.
Mm.
Some of them will also pull your personal credit report. Some will do a soft inquiry. Some will do a hard inquiry. A soft inquiry does not hurt your credit report or your scores or anything.
It's right. Just
but a hard inquiry will actually take your credit score down anywhere from 3 to 15 points, depending upon how many you do over what period of time.
Right.
So it's an important issue that's involved. And inquiries are 10% of your credit report. So if you got an 850 credit report, 85 points of that is an inquiry area. And if that moves a little bit, your score can go down.
Mm.
And that's pretty much how the business end of it is. And again, setting up business lines of credit, you've got to make sure you've got the right entity. Is it an LLC? Is it a C corp? Is it an S corp? What is it doing? If you're a small business, you probably want an S corp. And I say, why an S corp as opposed to an LLC?
Right.
Personal choice. An S corp protects you under liability issues, but when it comes to federal taxes, all your profits and losses roll through to you on your personal schedule, meaning your personal income tax. So you're not paying corporate tax. And if you didn't make a lot of money personally, the money rolling through could keep you in a lower income tax bracket. Mm-hmm. Also, if you lost money in a corporation, say you had some investments over here making money, it would offset them.
Oh, okay.
So there's a balance between that. And you can take salaries out of it or not. You can choose to roll through on a personal, or you can pay self-employment tax and other things. And again, it's just a personal choice for small businesses.
Right.
Real estate, you want an LLC.
Yeah.
It's typically real estate. You've got investors. You want them limited partners. Mm-hmm. You don't want them involved if there's a lawsuit, for them to be involved in a lawsuit. Particularly, it's the general manager that gets hit. and the LLC's assets that get hit, mm-hmm. not you.
Yeah.
So there's different things. And again, depending upon what kind of business you have, how many employees you have, and what you're doing out there, I would contact an attorney.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. Who would you recommend talking to, like your accountant or an attorney or both? Okay.
So, yes, both. And again, how you set your structure up depends upon your tax base. That a CPA is going to advise you on that. Usually CPAs are pretty good on legal issues, knowing mm-hmm. if an LLC will protect you better than a C Corp in your particular instance. Now, I have used Legal Shield for more than 10 years, and I call them all the time. Mm. Every time there is a problem with a corporation, anytime there's a problem with an issue, somebody wants to create a lawsuit, I pick up the phone. It doesn't cost anything to talk to them. I've talked to them. I've sent them documents. When I get non-disclosure agreements from major companies that I work with, or I have contracts to send me for work, everything gets run by an attorney. And if I don't like that attorney, I'll send it back to them and say, I mean, have a different attorney. I want a second opinion. Oh, no cost. It's just a monthly fee, and it runs out. It could run anywhere from $20 to $50 a month.
Right. Yeah.
You want the full, more business end or just personal end. Mm-hmm. And again, if it's a personal business, you don't have any corporations, you just ask it. I would stay on a personal end. And if necessary, I can send you a link to get you into. It'd be a great thing. And again, that's how you're looking at your business credit. Mm-hmm. Everything has to do with when you go and buy in a store, go to the store and ask them if they have a business credit line. So you can set up a corporate account. Mm-hmm. Now, they're going to ask a lot of questions. They'll go through little things. They may, again, hit your credit report. They may look at Dun & Bradstreet. And again, when you're doing that, the most important thing you need to ask them is, where do you report to? Is it just Dun & Bradstreet? Is it Equifax? Is it Experian Business? Where is it? Because you want to make sure that they're reported to. And if the company says, we don't report to anybody, you might choose a different supplier in the same industry that mm-hmm. does report. Mm-hmm. Because you want that credit. As long as you're willing to pay your bills on time and do all those things, you want somebody that reports. Now, like I said in the beginning, an 80 paydex store is just make your payments on time. If you want something higher than 80, mm-hmm. which is very nice when creditors see that.
Yes.
You have to pay your bills early.
Okay.
And when I say early, if you have a net 30, pay it in 10 days. Mm-hmm. Don't wait to 30 days. If a bill comes in and you pay it when it comes in, mm-hmm. as opposed to net 30, right. your score can actually come all the way up to 100.
Oh, wow.
Now, if a supplier goes in there and says, oh, let's see a score, and they see 100, they go, oh, we're going to get paid quick on this one. Yeah, go ahead and approve it. There's no derogatories because you can't get 100 if you start making late payments.
Yeah, gotcha.
So it means you've been on time with everybody and you've been early on your payments. Mm. That means a lot to a supplier because he needs to use your money to go buy more supplies.
He needs
to resupply his stock. So yeah. How you pay is important to them. And that's where the Dun & Bradstreet paydex score comes in.
Okay.
The other ones will look back to see whether or not you've had lawsuits, issues, derogatories. They'll look at all that. And again, they'll also look at your personal credit report. Mm-hmm. And that's why keeping your personal credit report is so important, because they're going to look at your business going, yeah, your business is doing okay. And you look at your personal going, wait a minute, you know, you got lawsuits and other issues personally. Will that impact the business?
Yeah.
Exactly. Because if somebody gets a judgment against you and attacks your assets, which is your business, all of a sudden they could lose their money that you owe them.
Yeah.
Maintaining a very good personal report is incredibly important for your business as well as it is for you personally. Mm-hmm. And again, a difference between a 580 credit score and a 680 credit score could mean the difference between an interest rate being, you know, 7 or 8% and 14 or 15%. Mm-hmm. When you borrow a lot of money, the numbers get astronomical.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine, I'm working on helping him fix his credit score because he didn't know anything about it. He's in his 80s. He said, I don't know. I got these credit cards. I saw how much interest he paid in 1 year. And I think he owes a total of maybe $17,000, not much money.
Right.
But he paid mega thousands in interest. I looked at his interest rates and they're between 16 and 25%. And he has like, you know, almost an 800 FICO. I said, why are you doing that? You know, I don't know. It's what they charge me. So right now I am repairing what his system is, going out and getting him 0% interest rate for 18 months, balance transfers and charges.
Mm-hmm.
0%.
Wow.
Now that's an HSBC, Bank of the West. Discover has some of those and a few other big companies. Apply to them. Make sure you're looking at it. And then balance transfer those interest rates that are high onto something that's zero.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, for 10 years, I have paid this much in interest to credit card companies. And I have run probably close to $500,000 through my credit cards. At times left $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 on credit cards for months on end. Zero interest. All at 0%. Balance transferred. And when the time comes up, I either balance transferred it to a different card or I just paid it off in full.
Hmm.
Right now, I've just been paying them off in full.
Okay.
So the idea is it's a game. It's a game of Monopoly. And if you understand how to play the game, you'll win. You'll end up with Boardwalk and Park Place with hotels on it, and everybody will keep landing on them, and you'll win.
Okay. Yes, absolutely.
The game of credit is something that needs to be studied a little bit. You really need to understand how it works. And let me tell you, there's tons of ways of finding out how it works. You can go to Experian, TransUnion, Equifax, go to their websites. They'll always have learning centers teach you about the best way to handle credit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've taught people credit over and over about how to understand how to increase your credit score. Increasing your credit score is a delicate balance between payment history, credit utilization, length of history, credit mix, and inquiries.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the most important is your payment history. Do you make your payments on time? That's 35% of your score. And that could be a big whack. If you even have one late, it could cost you literally 100 points on your score. You don't even know it.
Yeah.
But did you also know that if you've been using a card for a long time and you screw up and you do have a late, that you can pick up that phone and call that credit card company and there's almost an 80% chance that they will say, okay, as a goodwill gesture, we will remove the derogatory and we will remove the payment, the penalty, the $39 we charge you, we'll waive that too.
Yeah, I've done that. I've done that before because I do pride ourselves in not being late and sometimes even, you know, paying bills like right when they come in as well. And on the off chance that for some reason, mostly what has happened is I pay the bills, my husband will hand me the bill. And for some reason, he missed getting me that bill that time. And then he's like, well, how come it's late? And I'm like, well, you didn't give it to me. But he has, because normally we have paid on time, he was able to get, just as you say, right. He was able to get that fee waived and we were okay.
What I do and what I've been teaching my wife to do, even though she does, like, even when the bill comes in, she pays it. I put 100% of everything I do on auto draft.
Mm.
I've never had a late payment. I don't even have to think about it. I only have to do one thing, make sure my bank account has enough money to make payments.
Well, yeah, that's important.
Yep. So I just, every so often, I just drop thousands of dollars into the bank account and I target all my credit card bills to one of two accounts.
Mm.
If they're a business,
yeah,
I'll send it to my business checking account. If it's personal, I'll send it to my personal bank account.
Yeah.
I just make sure those two have money in it for the payments.
Right. Absolutely.
And again, the payments aren't all that much.
Mm-hmm.
You can, again, when you negotiate a 0% interest on these cards and then you quote unquote put it at minimum payment, a $5,000 credit card with max spend out, your payment is $50 a month.
Mm.
That's it. Because there's no interest.
Yeah.
And it's a minimum payment, 1%. Again, let it ride that way until the end, and then be sure you have money in the background and pay it off in full.
Right.
I have probably saved $20,000, $25,000 in interest payments I didn't have to pay because of the ability to understand how credit works.
Okay.
And that's what I love, helping people. And again, during this pandemic, I tell every single solitary person I always meet, call your credit card companies up right now, right now. And if you have an interest rate over 10 or 12%, tell them, I'm having an issue in the pandemic. What is your new interest rate for the pandemic? I would imagine almost 100% of them, at least for a period of time, will drop your interest rate down to around 12%, some of them less. I had one friend of mine who was in a hospital for 3 months with COVID. When he told the credit card company he had COVID, they not only dropped his interest rate, they waived the 3 months worth of payments that he was in the hospital, wiped it off, cleared up his credit, and said, we're sorry you were sick. So 3 months worth of credit card payments, they removed. They didn't put it on his back end of his loan. They just waived it.
And
they dropped his interest rate. So if you know anybody that's had COVID, you call the credit card company and say, you know, I was having a real struggling problem. I was in the hospital. I had COVID for from this period to this period.
Right.
A lot of them will go back and make some serious adjustments and help you out. They really will. This is a time of seriousness. Same way the federal government is talking to lenders about mortgage payments. Some people haven't made a mortgage payment in 8 months. And the lenders are going, we can't foreclose. We can't do anything. But I can tell you, when it's over, you owe a lot of money. Some of them are doing forbearance programs, moving it to the back end of the loan. And some of them are requiring, if it's only a few months, that you make the payments up quickly.
Right.
So be sure you understand what your lender is going to do in your mortgage area. Same way with car payments. Same way with anything that there's a creditor involved, where the federal government might have put some mandates down saying, you need to help these people. They have a problem.
Absolutely.
So that swings into my debt area, because when I'm working with people, and my main thing is I do is I love to do debt settlements. Again, way back when I was doing these settlements, I realized that even though I got 40 years in real estate, and I am still a licensed real estate broker and will be for the rest of my life, I'm grandfathered in by the Department of Real Estate for all sorts of different things. Zero complaints, zero everything. So they love me. And the reality is came down as I learned through negotiations how to deal, because a lot of times the clients were both my buyer and seller. So I negotiated both.
Right.
And at times I was a mortgage lender for 20 years. So I did the mortgages on it. And at times when I had my life insurance license, I would put a life insurance policy on the main person in case they died. But I didn't like life insurance that much. But my wife works for Mass Mutual. She handles all the insurance on the properties. She does all that sort of stuff. She's incredible at it.
All right.
Why me? So I got back and I really started understanding the pandemic is causing a lot of people problems. And they don't know what to do. And have you ever heard the expression, you know, a deer in the headlights, just frozen?
Right.
All right. Well, that's what happens to business owners right now. And they're panicking out there and they're lying to their creditors and they're lying to their trade payables. Oh, I got money coming in. As soon as this thing gets back on, I'll get you paid in 30 days. I'll do that. They lie, they lie, and they lie. And what they did was they set themselves up to where when they really need help, it's that old expression, you cried wolf too many times and now the villagers don't want to come out and help you. And there's a real wolf there.
Okay?
I always tell people from the beginning when you make any type of connection with a new creditor, with a new supplier, stay in communication with that person and make a really good friendly relationship with them at all times. Because if something comes up, they can help you or they can hurt you. If something comes up and you don't make a few payments and you lie to them, they can cut you off. And maybe that particular piece of merchandise that they're selling you is critical to your business. You're not going to be able to go out and find another supplier because they're going to check your history. And your history isn't really good at that moment in time, right? So you're not going to find other suppliers to easily fill up. So I actually go in and I tell people, never lie to them. if something is coming up, call them up, say, hey guys, we have an issue here and we're having a little trouble. Mm-hmm. And this is what the trouble is. We have a pandemic. We got shut down. Some of our employees got sick. This happened. This happened. Right. Tell them the truth. Say, what can we do to help solve the problem between the two of us so that when I need the product, I can get you eventually paid. But right now I can't. What do we do?
Yeah.
What it does, and it's an expression of hot potato. Uh-huh. You got the hot potato in your hand. Mm-hmm. Well, toss it to him.
Yeah.
Tell them you have the issue. Ask them, always through questions. What can you do to help the situation between the two of us?
Yeah.
Stay good.
Right.
And he's going to say, well, I understand. Yeah, a lot of people are having this problem. We're having a problem with our creditors that we borrow money to buy all our supplies with. What can we do? I mean, we might have to slow down how much we give you. Help you find more credit lines. Mm-hmm. What is it we need to do to help you so you stay in business, so you buy our product and we can make money to pay our suppliers? That's where the negotiations come in. And I have stepped in numerous times into companies that lost their key supplier. Mm-hmm. When I say key, these guys were the only one that supplied a particular part for their company and they got cut off. And they were hurting bad. They couldn't do anything. They called me in and said, Paul, we don't know what to do. So I found out everything about their company, what their assets were, what their income stream was, what their problems were, their internal communications, who was in charge, who made decisions. I learned all about the company so I can understand the philosophy, because when I talk to the creditor, I have to come up with a valid reason why we need to start working, doing business together, and how we're going to do it. Well, I'll tell you, I've had a couple of creditors, when I picked up the phone, I've had to hold the phone out here as they start talking about my client, and I can't use the words because it's not allowed on public television. Sorry. But let me tell you, they were angry, pissed off, and violently, you know, vulgar language.
Yeah.
And that's how they felt about my client, because of the damage she did by lying and cheating and everything else they did.
Yeah.
So my job is to get on his side. If I stay on my client's side, I lost the negotiation game.
Right.
I have to be his friend. So sometimes I have to tell him, you know, I understand. My client is a blankety blank. I got, matter of fact, he's one of the worst clients I have. And I'll tell you, I don't know what to do. He just screws up every time. But I'll tell you why I'm here. He has employees. And if we don't save his company, those employees will no longer have a job.
Yeah.
And if his company goes under, you're never going to see any of your money at all. It's his history.
Yeah.
What can we do to make this work? I know you hate him. I hate him. But I'm looking out after his employees and your best interests. So what can we do?
Yeah.
And I'll give you a hint to all your trade, you guys out there that have this issue. Here's how you settle it. And it's the only way I settle it. I go back to the creditor and say, I'll tell you what. We want to buy your product. You need to sell your product. We will pay you cash. Not a company check. That won't work. Cash or cashier's check. Mm-hmm. And we'll not only pay you for the full amount of the product you're buying, but we're going to add a certain percentage of the debt that we owe you in addition, so that you get cash flow, you get the full price for your product, and we start whittling down your debt.
Mm. That's good
enough. When they heard that, 100% said we can work it out. The only last part of the negotiation is how much of that debt will you pay when you're buying the product?
Right.
And that's something based on your cash flow or how much profit you have in the product. Mm-hmm. You might be able to say, well, and again, a lot of times I just say, if I buy $100 of stuff from you, I'll give you $110. I'll give you 10% of whatever it is. Right. And that will knock you into my profit a little bit because it's not a big deal. But if you have a big profit, you might say, I'll knock off 5% of what I owe you. Mm-hmm. So if the next 20 deals that we buy big amounts from you, we pay cash, after 20 of them, you and I will be even. You'll have 20 deals paid for in cash, and we can get back together doing business on a more friendly basis.
All right.
So if you have a business out there and you have issues like this, if you created the problem with the vendor, do not call him. Find somebody in your company who's a friendly person, somebody who has a smile on their face and is very positive. Call him and say, hey, listen, I'm going to lose my job. We need to get this back. We don't have this. My boss is a blankety blankety blank, but I don't want to lose my job. And we came up with some ideas from the employees of how to help you. And if we can do this, get you the cash and a little bit extra each month, it will save us. It'll save the company. If we save the company, you're going to get paid in the long run. What can we do? And have the guy who has heart.
He's
got to speak from the heart. Truth. That this is really important. Right. And I can't guarantee anything. But I'll tell you, you're going to probably find 100% acceptance in it.
All right, excellent.
And after time, you'll start building that rapport. But if you ever, ever lie to that guy again, it may not mean anything to you.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be in trouble.
I've had one client who was so bad to his customers or his creditors. Uh-huh. The creditor called up and says, I don't care if I lose all my money. I'm bankrupting him. I'm going to sue him personally, business-wise. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take him and rip him. Mm-hmm. And he did. Unfortunately, he did, because again, you lie to the wrong person.
Yeah.
And it can be devastating. And that's what my holistic background came in. That's where I learned how to read energies, how to read people.
Okay.
And I understood that everything I said had to come from my heart. Mm-hmm. If I just was a negotiator, well, I'll give you this, you take that. And they could feel that it's not real. Mm-hmm. That there's no feeling behind it. It's just a mechanical manipulation. Then they know something is going to happen in the future. But when I talk to them from my heart, say, I have a client that's really, really, really hurting. Like my last credit card client that I took from, I saved them $100,000 on his credit card bills.
Yeah,
I came from the heart. Mm-hmm. They had a medical problem, but nobody knew it.
Yeah,
they didn't understand what had happened. And when I talked to the attorneys, they got it. They got my sincerity of what had happened. And under HIPAA laws, I don't have to give them any documentation. They can't even ask for it.
Yeah.
So it was my word in a hardship letter that's changed their minds to give them what I got and saved my clients $100,000.
All right. Awesome.
This is how negotiations work in the real world.
Okay.
And there's a book out there by Chris Voss, and it says, never split the difference. Mm-hmm. If you want a book that will keep you intrigued from the time you read it to the time you put it, I read it in one day. Mm-hmm. I couldn't put it down. The guy was one of the top FBI negotiators for hostage situations in the world.
Okay.
Anytime there's a major hostage situation, they call him in. Mm-hmm. And he explains the stories of how you have to talk to somebody who's strapped with a bomb around them, who's got a gun at a hostage's head, sitting in a plane with 15 other people, and is ready to blow him and everybody up.
All right.
How do you get him to concede and walk out?
All right. Well, we'll have to get the book, because I'll put that in the show notes, but we're going to have to, unfortunately, we're out of time. I'm going to have to wrap it. So Paul, if someone wants to be able to get a hold of you, have a website, or what's the best way for someone to
learn? The best way to get a hold of me, just send it to my email address. Okay. I have two of them you can choose. It's either paul@wisewealthchoices.com.
Okay.
That's W-I-S-E, wealthchoices.com. Mm-hmm. Or my personal email, just call paul@gmail.
Okay.
And just put in the top, you want links to Legal Shield or attorneys, or ask me a question about how you work or structure. Okay. You can ask me any credit question. You can ask me any debt settlement question. I will answer them all and will not charge you. Oh, if you want a consultation with me, I'll give you the first hour free.
Wonderful.
And I literally, in 1 hour, I can probably understand your entire business, what's happening, mm-hmm. the internal issues, and probably know how to negotiate what you're going through in the best way. Mm-hmm. If I can do it, I will tell you, you have an option.
Okay.
There are some companies that have called me, and here's the biggest issue. They wait too long.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the reason I say that is because they use up all their money.
Yeah.
You have to have something for a settlement.
Right.
Even if it's 10 cents in a dollar, if you don't have the 10 cents, you can't make a settlement.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So please don't wait.
Okay.
Just call Paul at Gmail or Paul at wisewellchoices.com. Either way, ask me any questions. I will send you links. I will answer your questions. If you have a serious business issue, I will consult with you for free for the first hour.
Okay.
And when I get done, you will know more about your own business than what you thought you knew. And that's a promise.
All right. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for being here today. I really appreciate it. And thank you for listening, for watching. And until next time, as always, go out and live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically.
Did you know that a majority of entrepreneurs tend to discount the importance of their work? And a good number feel their success is simply due to luck. I know from personal experience that self-doubt can keep you from having the kind of life and business you desire. That's why I've created a free guide called Uniquely You, How to Move from Self-Doubt to Self-Love in 4 Simple Steps. To claim your free guide, go to liveloveengage.gift. That's liveloveengage.gift.